shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com.
Thank you for being silent with us. That was just us holding space for the lyrics of Defying Gravity.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome to Two Chunks. I'm Jordan.
I'm Doge. And today's punchline is Julius Sneezer.
What did they call Julius Caesar when he had bad allergies?
What's the name of the what was the name again of the Roman emperor that always had a cold?
Nice.
What do you call a Roman emperor when he gets a cold? Okay. Julius Sneezer.
Very good.
Very good. Very good.
Do you guys sneeze when you have colds very much? I don't.
No. I'm so plugged up.
Yeah. Most of the time, I would kill for a sneeze.
I would love to sneeze.
Yeah.
Even just once.
Sneeze for me most of the time is like when I'm like blowing leaves.
Oh.
Yeah.
And just kicking allergies, up the, like, allergy sneezy stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Blowing leaves sounds like it would be a euphemism. Like in ancient Rome, they called sneezing blowing leaves.
Well, just blowing leaves.
Carterus is blowing, Carterus blowing is leaves just, this day.
Are we looking for Cartorius today? He's out there
Cartorius,
blowing leaves.
Cartorius will not be coming to the assembly. He is blowing leaves.
I don't know how much I trust Dogerian. Sometimes he just gets up there and just blows leaves.
I can't believe anything kinda sound he says. Like, just saying stuff. He's blowing leaves.
Just blowing leaves. Have I stumbled upon a Peter Dinklage impersonation? He's just up there blowing leaves.
Just blowing leaves.
Blowing leaves.
Peter Dinklage's weird, not real accent is very funny to imitate.
They don't have an upper palate.
We goats do not have upper front teeth.
No upper
it's
front
just kind
teeth.
Of Tyrion again, huh?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, who's that Tyrion one? Who's the other one?
Me, Carter, a member. Hi, guys. It's me, Carter.
Hey, thanks for being here, Carter.
You can call me Cardi.
Hey,
Carter.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't have that.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Don't apologize for it. We saw two movies.
That's right.
We saw them back to back. And I think we're going to talk about them in the reverse order of how we saw them, just because we'd rather end on a higher note. Mm-hmm. But we did see yesterday, as the podcast crow flies, we saw Wicked and Gladiator 2 back to back. And we're here, you know, we're just kind of here to, I'm going to call it, facilitate a discussion about one of those movies, and then one of those movies.
I love that.
I think where we should start is with thanking all of our Discord friends who came out to watch these movies.
Yes.
Yeah, ton of fun.
Always.
Whole bunch of fun. We always love getting together with the Two Chunks Movie Club, getting to get together physically in person. We're not separated by this digital barrier. We don't live in your phone. We're not a ghost in the machine. We're real people.
We're real people.
And we get to hang out together and see a movie.
We get to
if you want to be a part of the next one.
Big profile pic. We're walk behind the big steampunk face, and there we are. That's actually us.
There we are.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Pay some attention to the man behind the curtain, because it's us. And we want you to join us for the next Two Chunks Movie Club. We'll tell you about Discord later this episode, how you can join, how you can be a part of that.
That's the only way, though. You don't get to come if you're not there.
Come on.
So,
Can't come if you're not there. Dang, dude.
Dang, you're dude. That's what everybody always says. Mm. Unless, of course, you are my brother who sometimes just shows up.
He's here. What's that sometimes tap tap on your shoulder?
That's your brother. That's a brother. Let's talk about Gladiator. Let's reverse our order. Let's talk about Gladiator 2 first, if that's okay with my friends.
Derek
Carter.
Of course.
When is the last time you guys watched OG Gladiator?
I have watched it again since we reviewed it for the podcast, which means, you know, another time within the last 4 years or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think that I have. I think it's been a long time for me.
Okay. Very good. We watched
this movie
Friday night.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So watch it Friday night.
Very fresh. Yeah. Gladiator, special movie to me, but more special director. You know, Alien and Gladiator have both been featured on our podcast because of my specific love for Ridley Scott. Ridley Scott, who I met in Oxford, England, in such a really unique...
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I have, you know, Alien tattoo.
Do you have his contact info?
No contact info.
Okay, I was going to see
if you could DM?
Reach out to him and just be like, hey, it's Carter.
Hey, man, what's up?
What's going on?
Why is this going on?
What's up? I have opinions.
Yeah, me too.
I want to do them. Can I start with just a general soapbox here?
Of course.
There's a comparison. We had talked about, it was after we had seen Wicked. One of our characters from Wicked, one of our actors in Wicked, will be in a revamp of Jurassic Park. Now, Jurassic Park has been done to death. I guess like a new sequel is what they're going
to
do.
To extinction,
some would say. Here's what happened in a relatively similar experiences for me as a child. Okay. And Gladiator would be when I'm a bit older, but
thank goodness.
I'm introduced to a brand new world for the first time. I've known this world to exist, but it hasn't existed this well in cinema before, right? Sure. Spielberg does this with Jurassic Park and dinosaurs. To be honest, Ridley Scott did this with Ancient Rome, a very popular setting in movies for a very long time. But I even remember when Gladiator came out, I was like, oh yeah, I don't know too much about this. Isn't that wild that they had guys fight in the arena? And here we have, you know, Commodus coming through into ancient Rome. Ridley Scott has pulled it off. Oh my God, it's gorgeous. Re-rendered, we've made the Colosseum again. No way. I can't believe this. This is so awesome. The fighting, all the good stuff. Wins an Oscar, wins several. You know the only sequels, though, ever to win Oscars?
Hmm.
Godfather 2, which in itself is just an extension. It would come out not too long after.
It's just the rest of Godfather.
And Return of the King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An extension. This was not two decades of like, what if? Here's the biggest problem outside of Ridley Scott being the director of Gladiator 2.
Yeah.
You are just giving me the same thing. It is so diluted now.
It's not even the same thing. It's not as good as the first one.
It's not as good as the first, but I'm saying like when you show me, when we spend the bazillions, clearly much more, not even just due to, just the way the world works, but when you show, well, just the big settings, I've seen this. Yeah. That's not special anymore to me. Yeah, I think I'm trying to imagine like the 14-year-old, you know, it's PG-13. No, it's R. So maybe some 16-year-old kid or something hadn't seen Gladiator, but sees Gladiator 2. Is it
pretty light R?
Does it even hold up to that person, to that kid, to other things that we can do, like other worlds that we can go to? There's stuff on streaming platforms that have more grand settings, that are more thoughtful and put together than what Gladiator 2 was.
Yeah.
And we're also repetitive on characters.
Yeah.
We're doing the same thing. There's a moment that I hate so much that we'll get to. Mm. Also, our crazy emperors, we did that. Joaquin Phoenix did that.
Yeah.
So much better.
Like, he's like the fifth head on Mount Rushmore of villains for me.
Yeah.
Why are we doing that again? Why are we doing the same story beats in the same setting? It is as if it's two things. Ridley Scott is nearing death. And he's got a lot of money,
he's already
a lot of trust.
A ghost and has unfinished business that he's trying
to finish. Lots of money, lots of trust, right? The kind of trust that you would get 1, 2, 3.5 A-listers, you know, to come up and be like, yeah, sure. Yeah, we're down. That's the scariest thing when a creative that I love is just kind of getting away with things. I'm not a big Coppola fan.
A-lister?
Coppola, yes. Okay. Coppola just did that. Coppola just did that.
Yeah.
In Megalopolis. And I'm over here like guffawing at it. And I'm not going to be blind to the fact that I do believe one of my favorite directors of all time is there. He's in that.
Yeah.
Either he needs to keep playing around with Alien IP, which maybe not, because the newest iteration that somebody else went in there and he just produced did so well.
Yeah. That's what
please
I'm thinking.
Don't, actually, like he, don't go over there. Would you please not?
He directed Gladiator in 2000. Black Hawk Down was like 2003 or 4, I think. The Martian was 2015. And other than that, it's been 25 years of oops, not very good.
The Martian's a great movie. So
The Martian's great. Black Hawk Down is good. Gladiator's good.
You mean like since Gladiator, yeah.
Since Gladiator, it's kind of been 25 years of oops.
When that Robin Hood movie first came out, I thought it was great. When I watched it again, you know, 8 years later, I was like, oh, baby, this wasn't very good.
Uh-oh.
The one thing, the very one part of this movie that is completely different than Gladiator, the breath of fresh air, was essentially what made this more of a training day in Rome than Gladiator 2, which was Denzel Washington for me.
Here's the thing about Denzel. Great actor. Fantastic. I can't be... You guys have to know that already. I can't be the first person to tell you that he's pretty good at acting.
Yeah.
Denzel Washington did not for a second for me. Not even one frame. 24 of those every second of this movie. Not even for one frame did Denzel Washington feel like a character from ancient Rome.
I agree.
That's
it feels like Denzel Washington got Kid and King Arthur's courted into ancient Rome.
Completely agree.
Yeah. And into just a bad script. I feel like the way he walked,
dude.
The way he looked around was like, am I here? Am I really here? Well, anyways, I'm just going to go ahead and be Denzel Washington.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, not to excuse Ridley Scott, because it Ridley did not do very good of a job. But this is, I'm curious how much of a writing influence Ridley had on this, because this is the same writer as Top Gun Maverick and The Batman, which are two of my favorite big budget movies from the last couple of years.
Yeah, the two of the
Top Gun Maverick in particular is like a textbook example of how to do a good sequel 25 years later.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious what happened with this one. Because Top Gun Maverick was like, we're going to do kind of the same as Top Gun, but not the same as Top Gun. It's going to be way better. And this was like, we're going to do kind of the same as Gladiator, but just sort of a worse.
You know what? You know who, and we've brought him up recently with some of our action series, but it's like the guy to get is too infatuated with tall blue people right now. But like, James Cameron could have made a banging.
Could have done a cool sequel.
Gladiator 2.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Can I say something about Denzel in this movie?
Yeah.
I want to be so clear that my issue is not that Denzel performed poorly.
No.
But Denzel in this movie feels like if somebody came to you and was like, hey, I just had a great steak. Do you want to go have it? And you're like, sure. And they're like, it's at Little Caesars. And you're like, excuse me? And you're like, you got to get the filet mignon pizza. And I'm like, can I just have the steak? And they're like, no. It only comes if you order the filet mignon pizza. And it's like, this is a good steak on a Little Caesars cheese pizza. Why is this here though? Put it, just let me have, like,
hey,
he does a good job. He is Denzel, but like, this is not, he's in a different movie than everybody
We've
else.
We've felt this
and
before.
Not in a good way.
We have felt this before. High budget movie.
Yeah.
Okay. We have felt this feeling that we have for Denzel. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit different because it was less offensive then.
Sure.
Because we had no ties. Can I take you to 1991? Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
I knew you were going to say this.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yes.
That's it.
It's the exact same.
That's it.
Alan Rickman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just said, F y'all, man.
Yes.
This sucks. Dude. All of this sucks. Let me go ahead and just add to my legacy.
100%.
It's not going to be the top thing. It might not be the top five thing. But people will know when they come here, when they walk these hallowed halls, They're gonna see my. They're gonna be like, "That's an Alan Rickman right there,
dude."
They
that
will
is,
remember what we.
They
did
will
on
remember
this day.
What we did on this day.
That is
that's what. Denzel walked into the Coliseum and he said, "I'm King Kong."
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
No, he. There were so many times where I was like, "He's the only person that has a personality in this whole movie." Like
what? Like that's not static. Yeah. That's not just like what. What we could have written 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So we've talked about this kind of movie before on the podcast.
Sure.
And it was Gladiator. That's another one of the Roman ones. No, the kind of movie I'm talking about is that if I watched this movie with earplugs in, I would think it was amazing.
Yeah. Mm.
Because I do think that like the artistry, the craft of making the movie was pretty good. Yeah. Costumes look fantastic.
Yeah.
I know that the set and the, in particularly the like the sweeping, the aerial landscape shots were not particularly innovative, but they looked as good as they ever have. This is as vivid as any of a picture of ancient Rome that I've ever seen.
Sure.
Very good. And like you could feel as you're watching, you could feel the escalation, the tension of a city that is about to devolve into riots. Mm-hmm. Like that was a very palpable tension. I think that it was, the tricky thing is I think that the craft of the movie was directed well.
Sure.
And I think the movie was made well and made competently. It's just the performances were mostly not great and the script was certainly not great.
Well, yeah. And I want to say too that I never thought this would be as good as the first. I mean, the first Gladiator is like maybe almost a perfect movie. It's so good. But I thought at least we would have like some spectacle, some amazing fight choreo, like
yeah,
something
I think
cool.
I think last night you said if it was dumber, you would have liked it better.
Yeah.
I think I agree with that.
I think for me, it's like if this had, there wasn't enough style to justify the lack of substance. If this movie had been essentially like Gladiator 2 is a sports movie. It's like a tournament movie where he's just, you know, fighting a bunch of stuff. Cool, dude. That's awesome.
He has to fight in the ancient Roman Kumite.
Yeah, dude.
You have to fight in the Kumite.
Well, and then the other thing, the big separator from this and Gladiator 1 that could have made the story cool is Pedro Pascal's character. If this had been, because Pedro Pascal's character is clearly kind of the Maximus of 16 years later in Rome. He is a war hero who is worshipped as a political hero because he is so good at war, and it's put him in a position to oppose the current power structure in Rome, which is exactly what happened to Maximus in the first movie. But then we have the gladiator analog for Maximus, which is Lucius, the child from the first movie.
Secret son.
And if those two had just connected and then done a team up to fight against Rome, then all of a sudden this is a cooler
movie.
Love
that. Yes, that makes it cooler. Also, we don't need Lucius.
At all.
We really don't.
Agreed.
Yeah.
We don't need Lucius.
No.
Only focus on, and here's the thing
too. Well, no, because then it really is just a straight rehash if it's just war hero
is
the gladiator again.
Yes. I'm saying with what we have, if we're talking about the meal, if I can take one thing out and just make it a better meal.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can't go back to the recipe and like start over.
Right.
I'd have to just move something out. Right. It might be that. Because it's an interesting thing for me that's like, hey, I think I might have been more excited. So let's say Lucius stays, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what's unfortunate here. And here's...
By the way, this has
nothing
to do with Paul Mezcal. Like,
I'm getting
he
there,
just had
yeah.
a bad script. So,
this is it. This is what I'm getting to. He had a bad script. I think Paul... It's tough to know if he's ready for Blockbuster.
Sure.
Maybe
yeah,
he is. I'm getting more excited when I see like the A24 on a preview that's got Paul Mescal.
Yeah,
Paul
sure.
Mescal. I'm like, yeah, cool. That's cool. Here's the thing, man, dude. If this was freaking Henry Cavill, though.
Sure. Yeah.
If we had just done Henry, I mean, if we had just done big boy,
just big strong, big
big
muscle boy
who has lived. He is Blockbuster.
Why not make the gladiator, the titular gladiator of this movie be like, do you remember Hagen, the Germanic barbarian from Gladiator 1, the big boy? Just make this one about a big boy.
Bro, that's get Alexander Skarsgård in here.
Sure, dude.
Yes, fine. Crossover with the Northman. He's his character from the Northman.
Doesn't matter. I know he can fight.
No, I think that the worst thing this movie does is make the main gladiator Russell Crowe's secret son.
Yeah.
That's so I think that is
if I have a super dump, that is it.
Yes. That is the cardinal sin of this movie, because that's even slightly against text for this movie of, like, if we're to value Marcus Aurelius's dream of ancient Rome, a dream where all men are free in a city, all men have unlimited opportunity. Why are we doing this noble bloodline chosen?
Yeah, why do you have to inherit it? Yeah.
It can be a random guy, and it should be a random guy automatically.
Totally.
We don't need this.
But also, I feel like it spits in the face of the character of Maximus and the grief he goes through about his wife to find out that, because Lucius and his son were the same age. So it's not like he was with Lucilla before his wife and then met his, like, he would have had to have cheated on the wife that he goes through the grief process with the entire movie. I just watched that movie. To me, on viewing, that is not in the text. Like, there's not any hint. His attachment to Lucius is another 8-year-old boy.
It is equivalent to Star Wars Episode 9 being like, oh, her? She's the Emperor's granddaughter.
Right.
He had a family. You didn't know about it.
It's like, who boned down with the Emperor, dude? What happened? Yeah. Yeah, it's the same here, where it's like, why does every movie that is a sequel feel the need to be like, actually, you're actually watching a movie about the secret child or granddaughter of the main character from the other
one? Would have cared about him regardless. Yeah. I didn't need to see that he was Maximus's son to care about him.
For my taste, I would prefer if he was just a rando who was like standing up for his people. That's way more interesting than like, I actually have blood calling me home.
I'm actually like human. I'm actually like human Simba. Yeah. Now I'm here to reclaim pride.
And this, because this is not the place for it. You can do that with Top Gun. And hey, guess what? Peter Craig did. The writer did. He's like, oh, one of our main characters is going to be Goose's boy.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting, won't it?
Credit. That worked
well. But you can do it with that. Great. You can do it with that. Because we're just like, man, over time, that shitty movie's not so shitty.
Yeah.
But you can't do that with Gladiator's influence on that kind of movie. Are you kidding me? The amount of movies that look like Gladiator that we've had come out since then is dumb.
I also want to just give a quick little uh-oh. I want to point out a little uh-oh from this movie. Harry Gregson-Williams is a wonderful composer in his own right. Hans Zimmer's score for Gladiator is like a a top 10 score of this century. And I don't know why we didn't get Hans Zimmer back. I don't know why we didn't get...
He's out there.
It sounded like a different vocalist too. The vocalist for Gladiator.
Yeah, it was just dull, man.
She's, I believe her name is Clara Sorace. But like, we didn't get... I don't know why we didn't try and get them back at all, because the good music.
They might have tried, and Hans was like, "Nah, dude, I'm not doing this.
I'm not going to do that. That's not what I'm going to do.
No, thank you.
I don't know.
Else.
Yeah. Making dinosaur music for prehistoric planet.
And the best music in this movie was just reused.
It's Needle Drops from Gladiator 1. Yeah, Harry Gregson-Williams' score is just not. It doesn't ever feel big enough.
No, I agree. Never. And so here's my super dump is the moment that Lucius looks at. All we needed was, it was kind of cool that like Maximus's name is scraped out. Just keep that much. That's fine.
That's all we need.
Actually, hey, tomb for all the rebel gladiators. Actually, his armor's right there.
Tomb for the Rebel Gladiators with a special shrine for Russell Crowe.
Actually, Lucius going to put on his chest plate. Ew, ew, ew.
If it's
now
never...
you have officially locked in that you are trying to be Gladiator.
If what it's never said that Lucius is Maximus's son, and this whole movie goes forward with he's just a random barbarian who wants to set his people free, and then works together with Pedro Pascal's character to work towards that goal. And Pedro Pascal's character is like, hey, I watched this man fight and he reminded me of you. I wanted you to wear his armor. That moment's so much better, right? If the armor for the most famous gladiator ever isn't down where the gladiators are, but is instead enshrined somewhere. And Pedro's like, hey, this will inspire hope in the people of Rome. Yeah. You should wear this. And then he walks out wearing that
armor. They need to see the dream of Rome fight again.
Right. Like if that happens, how much better is this movie? And imagine a scene where he's fighting Praetorians in the Colosseum, and then we cut out and in the streets is Pedro Pascal fighting praetor, like,
come on, man.
If we're fighting for the freedom of Rome while we're fighting for the freedom of Lucius's character at the same time, how much better is this movie if it's we're so not better. Stuck in trying to make it connect to Gladiator One and instead just make it echo Gladiator One?
Well, that's the thing too. It's like, just make a, it feels like they were so concerned with, we have to be a sequel to Gladiator.
They forgot to make a good Gladiator movie.
They forgot to make, like, the thing about Gladiator is not that it's Gladiator. It's a cool ass movie about ancient Rome.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, we forgot to do a cool ass movie about ancient Rome because we were so concerned with making sure people know that this is Russell Crowe's secret job.
Right, dude.
Yeah. One of the things that hurts my heart the most personally is when, like, people that I love use something called stinking thinking and they just use powerless words as if they, like, they're showing a representation of not knowing who they are or who I know them to be. And there's so much stinking thinking in Gladiator 2 with all of these flashbacks from the actual movie Gladiator. Stop. Ridley.
Don't Ridley show me Scott. The movie that I like better.
Yeah. Why do you have to keep coming in and be like, is it okay? Hey, I know this is crazy, but here's Russell Crowe.
Imagine you're at a concert and the artist finishes the song and people are clapping and they're like, wait. I mean, like, it was good, but like, you guys heard Michael Jackson sing? Michael Jackson was really
good. He's so good.
Yeah. Anyway, here's my next song.
It's a Michael Jackson cover. Can I tell you?
Yeah.
Can I tell you the moment that I knew? I don't think this is a good movie. Yeah. There was a specific moment where I was like, I went like cold for a second. I was like, oh no! Especially at the beginning and for a while, I was like, this. You know, it's slow, but it could get there. It could be more interesting. I think it'll get there.
Yeah.
Ships look cool.
When Lucius walks into the Gladiator Arena, the Colosseum, for the first time. Stabs his sword in the ground and grabs dirt like Maximus.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, we're all just doing it again, dude. And so also that was the moment where I was like, he's going to be Maximus's son. That's so annoying.
I was hopeful that he would not be Maximus's son. I think I was hopeful up until the beginning of the third act, but really once until Pedro, I don't know. I was willing to be on the roller coaster and see how high it would click me up the hill before we turned and started going down.
Yeah.
And then once we got to act three, it was like, oh, we're not actually that high. And I don't think this is going to be that fun of a ride.
It's not a fun hill. Yeah.
Yeah. The culmination of this story, the fight against Denzel at the very end, just is so limp. It was so weak. And his big speech outside.
Do we know why Denzel could fight?
He was a gladiator.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay. I missed that part.
He was a former slave turned gladiator.
Former slave turned gladiator.
Okay. I must have missed the part that he was a gladiator at some point.
Dude. Yeah. Paul Mescal should have absolutely been a random guy because Denzel was a random guy. And Denzel was like, this is the dream of Rome. That man can rise through the ranks and tear it all down.
Yes.
And Paul Mescal should have been, no, this is the dream of Rome. That one man can rise and be better than the people who have oppressed him.
There it is, dude. They had it.
That fight was lame at the end. Just like two armies just watching two guys fight. And then Paul Mescal gives a speech that is essentially like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, that was like
see ya.
This felt like, hey, that's one of the least aware things of the whole movie. Is like, you clearly think this will be good as good as Gladiator. Like, you want to have the father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife.
Yeah.
Like, you want to have the thing that is in the annals of AFI's top 100 moments of all time.
Yeah.
You tried to, what? No. The two armies just watching him, and I'm seeing that, and I'm like, dude, there are moments where this could have been much better, but we're too far in. We're too deep into a bad narrative.
Well, and we'll hop off Gladiator here in just a second, but I do just want to say, watching Gladiator 1 the other night, what I walked away with thinking is, Are You Not Entertained has to be one of the most misused quotes in all of movie history. I feel like it gets used all the time to mean, people use it to mean like, wasn't that entertaining? You know what I mean? People will do stuff and be like, are you not entertained? As though the question means like, huh? Pretty great, right? But the point of Gladiator is that Maximus is disgusted by the people gathering to watch violence for their entertainment. But he learns from Proximo, hey, just being good at killing is not enough to push you through the ranks. You have to give the people what they want. You do have to entertain them if you want to reach your ultimate goal of killing Commodus. There is an arc. There's a through line. And I feel like in this movie, it was just like, show some cool stuff, and then we'll talk about it. But people followed Maximus in Gladiator because he was a general and a war hero. Yeah. Why are people listening to Lucius give a speech at all?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do people care?
Why do people care what Lucius has to say?
Why does the rest of Bridgeforth down in the Gladiator pit care what he has to say?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason. Is it because they watched him kill a giant CG monkey?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you've got, and Russell Crowe as Maximus is like iconic. Like, this is the, this is what this big guy was made to make, was be this gladiator general, just apathetic to a certain point. Then, you know, all of Rome is behind him. Like, and so we wanted to make Maximus again?
Yeah.
Yeah, Twin Emperors was a thumbs down. Speaking of making things again, two threes do not make a 10. They make a 6. Commodus is a 10.
Dominus is going to be in the role here. My pet monkey, Dominus, is going to be, I'm going to give him power.
That Everyone emperor hail reminded Dominus. Me of Tim Robinson, and I was just waiting for him the whole time to be like, what the hell?
Can we scientific cinema scale this?
Yeah, let's do
sure.
it. Scientific cinema scale, the perfect answer is follow. Best cinema. Thing we ever said by movies. Oh, don't let it buy a poster. Next best thing we say, buy it, then rent it. That's followed by stream it and then forget it after that. It's certainly not least, but last also is.
I bet in a month or two, it'll move up a little bit for me. Because I'll be like, you know what? Well, Denzel was fun to watch, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But for the fact that, like, I don't think I'll ever watch this again because I don't just want to just make myself angry.
Yeah.
I'm trying to avoid that when I can and hold on to the kind of anger that I need to hold on to. Gladiator 2 is not that kind of anger. So it's a forget it for me right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Forget it.
Forget it for me as well. Ultimately, not worth watching.
I kind of agree. I do think it's a low stream for me. I don't think it's quite to the forget it territory. I am glad I watched it, if only to remind myself to not get excited about legacy sequels until after the credits roll. Then I'll let myself be like, oh, okay.
Let other people watch them first.
Yeah.
I want to have the experience of people being like, hey, Top Gun Maverick is actually good. And me being like, I know it's not, but I'll see it anyway.
And then be like, oh, it was good. Yeah.
Yeah. Because this felt like Terminator Genesis, where it's like, remember that one thing you liked one time? We're going to keep making them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a low stream for me, but I will never watch it again. That was
absolutely
when we were in the car last night, I told Callie, like, I could watch Gladiator and then start it over. That's how good that movie is.
Yeah.
Gladiator 2, leaving knowing I'll never watch it again, was a huge bummer.
Yeah.
That there's not even anything in that movie that would make me be like, I'll watch it again for this.
There's not even a part of it that I would watch in like a clip on YouTube.
No,
there's not even a part of it that I would be like, watch Mojo's top 10 moments from Gladiator 2. No. I would never watch that.
Yeah, there was no moment that stood out. That's the other thing I'll say.
Yeah.
My last thought on Gladiator, and then I promise we'll move on to a much better movie. There was nothing in Gladiator that I was like, that's the moment I'll think about.
Yeah, nope.
There's nothing there.
Nope. It would have been Rhino, but I saw it in the trailer.
Sorry,
would it have been Rhino? That what does it really do? It just runs around for a little bit. Cool.
Yeah, he actually defeated Rhino same way that you defeat Rhino in every Spider-Man game,
just
which
dodge.
Is like trick him into running into a wall.
Yeah,
got him.
Boats would have been cool, but that fight lasted about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Not long enough. Let's go to shout announcements.
Welcome to Shout Announcements. It's just Doge. It's just solo Doge, and I'm here blowing leaves about the things going on in podcast land. Something that we want you to know about is Imagine Dungeons. That's our actual play Dungeons & Dragons podcast that the three of us create, along with three of our funnier and more talented friends. We are rapidly nearing the end of season one. We've just got a couple episodes left. Things are really building to what I think is a pretty exciting climax to this first season of the show. And we would love for you to check it out. If you have been listening, thank you. If you haven't been listening, you know what you did, and you know why we're upset with you. You can find Imagine Dungeons on any podcast, any place you get your podcasts. And we would love it if you'd take a listen to that. The other thing we want you to know about is our Discord. For $5 a month, you can join our Discord, where we are having daily conversations about, I'm willing to bet by the time this episode releases, it's a lot of Brando Sando talk. We're all pretty excited for the next book in the Stormlight Archive. And so there will be some spoiler tag discussions about that, I'm sure, as we all get our hands on that and start reading through it. But we're also, you know, some of the folks in there are talking about sports. Not me. I would never. But there are some people talking about sports in there. That's where we're talking about being able to come to the Two Chunks Movie Club with us. We're telling you what we're seeing, when and where we're seeing it. It's a great time. It's a great community to be a part of. And we're so thankful for everybody who's there on our Discord with us. Especially those of you who came out to the Two Chunks Movie Club yesterday to see Gladiator 2 and Wicked with us. We appreciate you. We love you. We're proud of you. And that's all there is for this one.
Shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com.
We are in the hold of a ship belonging to the Blood Drunks. We are going to undergo quite a rigorous ordeal. We may be forced into a life outside the law, which I am not comfortable with.
Yeah, that was obvious.
I've been looking for some people to get along with and find myself a new place.
We actually are all captives, aren't we? Captives of our own demise. As for me, I've been a captive for a long time.
Well, you should know that you're interrupting me during my lunchtime. I was very honest about what I was selling, and it is on you to ask the questions that you want answers to.
So you're telling me that shiny baby and that big nerd have been taken by pirates? Draw me a map, Mama.
The captain said that I'd like you to join him for dinner.
Well, we wouldn't want to be rude.
Are you sure we want to do this?
I am not.
New episodes of Imagine Dungeons, an actual play D&D podcast, every Wednesday.
As mentioned before, we saw two movies this weekend. One of them was the story of what happens when one person is willing to stand up against an authoritarian regime and use the power of freedom and dreams to fight back against tyranny and to set a people free from authoritarian rulership. And the other movie was Gladiator 2. And we're here... We're here to talk about first movie now, which, of course, is Wicked, the movie.
Let me just say, as our resident rain cloud, don't get excited about stuff. I've seen Wicked in theaters 2 times. I would go a third. No questions asked.
Yeah. It's a very good movie. I had no context for Wicked outside of The Wizard of Oz. I didn't know what the story of Wicked was. I knew they went to Hogwarts, but I didn't know, anything else about Wicked going in. And I loved this movie.
It's great.
Absolutely fantastic.
Such a good movie.
Great, dude. I even heard you talking about it and your assumptions of man, here's what this, I bet we do this. And man, you're wrong in a great way. And yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait for you to get that same feeling. So Wicked is really special to Chelsea. She had a trip to New York with her mom, maybe second year. This would have been her senior year in high school. So I'm going to age her a little bit here, but this was long time ago.
70 or 80, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. 1970, 1980. And she's going to New York and was going to go. The point there was to go see Legally Blonde, right? Legally Blonde had been out. She wanted to see it. It's one of her favorite movies. Legally Blonde, the musical. Are you kidding? Of course.
Yeah.
Turns out, couldn't get tickets for it. Mm. Well, let's just try this.
We'll go to this Wizard of Oz one.
Walks in and change her life.
Yeah.
What? And so that was a big one when it came through Dallas that she wanted to make sure that I saw. And I did. And I was just like, yeah. And she did that thing of hey, I don't want you to know. Don't look up anything. And so try and protect that. Sweet Jordan for a year.
Yeah. But there's Act Two coming too.
I think I can do that. I think it'll be
fun. It's just the special thing. You know, it's like we don't have to talk about both of these movies in tandem too much because I don't want to taint Wicked at all with Gladiator 2. But there was an interesting thing about this one. So I was way more hyped about Barbenheimer coming out.
Sure.
Because these were both two. I mean, Barbie was like, I feel excited. It has a lot of heat. We're pretty pumped about this. Had heard about Wicked before I had even heard about Barbie. Wicked feels like it's been in the shoot for a long time. But here we're kind of two original things. And so what's interesting about Glicked is like, hey, here's two not original things. Actually, they ended up being both the same story, but a little bit different. But seeing the benefit here of, because we, all three of us are big musical boys. We love them. And we've even had conversation with like Les Mis and did we do In the Heights on this podcast? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
I don't think we did it on the podcast.
The special thing that can happen.
But I watched it.
Yeah. It going from Broadway to movie feels risky regardless because there is a magic that you can't get like you can seeing something like that live. Yeah,
there's something kind of about like hearing somebody sing Defying Gravity live and the orchestra in the pit is like blasting at full volume.
It's amazing.
That you're never going to repeat that
right.
in a movie.
No.
There's a live element that you can't recapture.
But there's other things that we get in a movie. Which is a budget, much bigger budget.
Yeah.
So what do you do with that? There was a thing that I was thinking the halfway through the second time I saw it, and I think I shared it a little bit after my second viewing of, you know, there's not really any other fantasy set, like popular fantasy set Broadway movies. So actually, what a great movie to have a bigger budget for, to make the world bigger. You know, I don't think you're sitting in Les Mis and being like, man, I wish I could see more of France.
Well, and this is special too, because the... Like while the Wicked novels are definitely sequels to or prequels to or in betweenquels to the original Wizard of Oz novel, the musical Wicked is absolutely inspired by and I mean sort of seems to be same continuity as the film, as the Judy Garland movie. And so for something to start movie, then go musical, and now we're back to movie and we can draw inspiration from both the staging of the musical, but also the movie that every single person has seen. Like The Wizard of Oz has to be one of the most viewed movies of all time. That doesn't even feel crazy to say. That's a big statement, but it feels very realistic that like every person who has seen this on opening weekend, 95% of them have seen The Wizard of Oz at some point. And so that is such a humongous... Yeah, a huge like common ground, a huge visual language that we're all at least a little familiar with that we can then pull into the design for this movie as well.
Totally. And a timeline tick on the history of cinema. Chelsea and I had the privilege of being able to go to the Academy Museum of Motion Arts in LA. And there's a whole wing dedicated to The Wizard of Oz. You know, the whole point there is to tell the story of movies. And it's like, oh, by the way,
let's stop down on this one in particular. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the big one. Like the ruby red slippers, to see those in person, right? Is the whole thing when you go to the Natural Science Museum and you see the T-Rex put together.
Yes.
Like, oh wow.
Yeah.
Well, this is the same timeline tick on the history of just Earth that Wizard of Oz can be on movies. And so to come back to the cinema is really cool.
Yeah.
And do it big. You talk about pressure,
huge dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being the production designer for like, I'm designing the Emerald City.
Are you kidding?
This is the first time we're seeing the Emerald City for real. I don't count the James Franco movie. One of the first times we're seeing the Emerald City for real in almost 100 years, dude.
Yeah.
The Wizard of Oz was 1928.
Yeah.
It's been almost 100 years since we've seen the wizard with his curtain in the Emerald City.
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy. And the product and everybody involved in this movie having to just sit there and wait for it to finally release, you know, is just like, oh, but I do. It was good though, right? It was good, right?
Do we know, did they film one and two like back to back? Like it's everything's in the can, it's all done?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's done.
Okay, good. I think that's...
That's good, huh? That's encouraging.
That's much better. Yeah, that's the way to do it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, technically, I guess... In a way, Wicked is a legacy prequel in a way.
Yeah, sort of.
Almost 100 years later. So,
yeah.
I just, there's so much to say about this movie that I think we could go on forever. But the obvious choice to point out is the casting.
Yes, dude.
I don't know that there are better options for Glinda and Elphaba than Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo.
No.
If you had told me this a month ago, I am on my apology tour right now.
Sure.
For Miss Grande. Because I forgot that Ariana Grande was like a weird, quirky theater kid who became a worldwide pop star.
Right. Yeah.
I was viewing this as if we were like, and we got Taylor Swift to be Glinda.
No.
It's like,
no,
she's not. She's this first.
Yeah.
And she, Ariana Grande, dude, is phenomenal.
Yeah, she's
unbelievable. There are times when it's tough to see Glinda and not Ariana Grande.
Agreed.
But
sure,
that's what happens when you cast a humongous star.
Yeah,
in a role. There are times when it's tough to see Elphaba and not Cynthia Erivo.
The Wizard and not Jeff Goldblum. Like, it just, right, that's
exactly
how it goes.
That's just how it goes. Yeah. Michelle Yeoh is who I see most of the time.
Sure.
Not Madame Horrible. But yeah, she is both of our leads, but I'm talking about Ariana Grande in particular, is incredible. Just an unbelievable performance here.
Genuinely. And that was something I was saying about Cynthia when we were walking out of the theater last night is, I have heard her sing before. I knew she could sing, but I had never let her like hit the gas pedal and let the lead out before. And she's unbelievable. Dude. First of all, to hang in there with Ariana, who, you know, like her or not, like her pop music or not, she is pretty undeniably one of the greatest vocal talents working right now.
Yeah.
But then for Cynthia to just step in and be like, I got it. I'm right there with her. I'm hanging in there right there with her. And Cynthia has the biggest, maybe the biggest song of all time. Like, maybe.
Sure, yeah.
Defying Gravity might be the single biggest musical theater song ever written.
Well, two things about Defying Gravity. Interesting that Idina Menzel has that and Let It Go, which are like the two biggest musical songs of this century, for sure. But also interesting, I was telling Jess driving home last night, I think that Defying Gravity, especially with the movie out now, introducing it to a wider audience in context than maybe would have been aware of it otherwise.
Yeah, I didn't know the context of the song.
Has the cultural staying power of Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I think this is something that 100 years from the release of this movie, people are still going to be like, yeah, I know that song from that really old movie, Wicked.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. It's amazing. And dude, so Cynthia Erivo too, there's already, I think I might introduce more movies into like curriculum with what I teach. There's a whole section in Persuasion that we teach about propaganda. And that's really a lot of what Wicked is about, is just propaganda, discrimination, all these kind of story beats. And then our decision to go out and get Cynthia Erivo to have a black woman play Elphaba.
Yeah.
Also is doing this incredibly unique thing we don't see on Broadway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the choices that she made in, she said, if I'm going to be Elphaba, she will have box braided hair.
Mm-hmm.
She will have long nails. And Chelsea was telling me about this, but there's that progression. I got to see it the second time, that the nails get longer and more defined and more designed, and the hair gets longer and fuller throughout the movie. Of kind of like her coming into her own kind of thing.
Yeah.
But to hold that weight, dude, and Cynthia is Broadway. Like she's a big time Broadway actress. And that I will always be down, I think now, I'm in for Broadway musical 2 movie. Because the emoting that we get. We talked about this.
Yes.
Les Mis as a movie won Anne Hathaway an Oscar. Because we got to sing I Dream a Dream and look up close at this woman's face in that. You don't get that, right? You can't get that on the stage. But the moments that we have, the dance scene, are you kidding me?
In the Oz Dust? Yeah.
Cynthia Erivo, her emotions in this, dude.
Yeah.
Cynthia Erivo is such a good crier.
Cynthia Erivo,
I think, has like superhuman sized tear ducts because each of her tears is like a full 8 ounces.
Yeah, dude, I felt like she winked at me at the end.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm fine. I know you're going
to be okay.
Fine.
You dude, have that, to go do this.
I just can't go with you.
Great, man. That wink, yeah. Dude. There's a lot what a unspoken perfect, in that wink.
Perfect balance. And here's what it is, too, to have our two leads. And I talked about this last night. Hamilton was like, you know, not a flash in the pan. It's going to have staying power phenomenon, sure. Right? Heat's definitely down. You know, are we going to talk about Hamilton 20 years from now like we talk about Wicked currently? Probably. But the two big leads there are Leslie Odom Jr. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You angel. And the kindest man in the world who's an incredible writer, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Right.
These guys have a lot of duets together. Oof, yep. Boy, we sure can't. Ooh, Lin. Lin, all of a sudden you're Ringo Starr, bro. Like, you need to not. So the thing with like, that's what is so wonderful about this, to be excited. To have the leads interact.
Yeah.
A, and then sing together. That's the point of a musical. Mm. That's the point of a musical.
Their voices
shout out to Chris.
So
shout out to Kristen Bell for holding her own with Idina Menzel. She's got a history of that kind of stuff too. But sure. I've never seen it like that. I have never seen two leads that were so incredibly equipped and were even showing off by being like, hey, we'll find each other in unison to where you can't tell us apart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's so hard to do.
That is crazy.
And then just breaking off on those harmonies, they were phenomenal. There's a great song in the second half that those two are going to have together that I'm really excited for.
I am
but
too, dude.
It's dumb. Like I was so impressed.
Same.
In all, every aspect of this, across the board. Like I think this might be a shoe-in for, not that Oscars matter the most in the world, but this is going to do well. Like we saw Broadway musical turned movie do well. Les Mis did well. But this will do more, I think. I think this will get, this will get song. This will get maybe adapted screenplay.
I could see it getting adapted screenplay.
This could get costume easy. This could get makeup easy. This could get set easy.
Can I tell you that like that green bullet train?
Isn't that cool?
Is so cool.
The gear
design of that is insane.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about that. But there's so much of these sets were practical in a way that a lesser movie would have not been willing to commit to. And it shows, it pays off.
My second watch through yesterday, I had my eyes out for CG dancers. Cause I was like, did they have a whole crowd of people or were they just like, yeah, we can run this through a crowd sim and just fill out a couple extra hundred. Looked like every dancer was real. It looked like we had 150, 200 people on these enormous sets.
Sure.
Doing these huge camera. It was just like the kineticism of the camera work during the big choreographed dance numbers, especially, what is the song called? Hang on. What is this feeling? Yeah. Where we're cutting through all the different places at Shiz. But picking up the choreographies going the whole time.
Good. Yeah,
yeah.
Like, that's really cool.
And just cutting to the different, like, okay, we're in science class here. We're in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We're in our our color guard stuff here with our batons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was really cool.
Really, really impressive. I also have said a couple of times this episode that The Wizard of Oz came out in 1928. It was 1939. 1939. So like, I really didn't care for Wicked. I don't think it was
good. Lord willing, still going to be around for that 100th anniversary, though. But that'll be special.
Me or all of this, like the World Society type of thing?
The three of us.
Oh, three
God,
of us,
I hope so.
Three of us, yeah. No, we'll make it to like Wizard of Oz 100.
Yeah, we'll be there, dude.
But
we'll
like institutions, the electrical grid, the underpinnings of human society.
I don't think that way often. No.
we're just in a cave marking lines on a wall. Like, I think today might be the 100th anniversary.
Today might be the 100th anniversary of the Wizard of Oz.
And then you just hear a shotgun rack and they're just like, we got to go get water.
So good.
On this day, Oz day.
Today is the 100th Oz day.
As the go-to in the world, food metaphor boys.
Mm.
There's a fun thing too where you
this is like the second bite of steak that you get to take after almost 100 years.
Yeah. Say you're like trying to hit like nicer restaurants when you go places and you travel places, right?
Yeah.
Chelsea and I design trips off of food. You go and you're like, oh my God, this was one of the best experiences I've had. Who was the chef? Are you kidding? Did they really? Isn't John Chu? Wasn't he the chef at this other restaurant? John Chu, full attention, my guy.
Yes.
Crazy Rich Asians, phenomenal movie. He did In the Heights, which was really good.
Mm. Yep.
And now he's done this. I'm in, dude. What you got coming up, John Chu?
Yeah.
Welcome to the radar. I'm looking out for anything that you do.
And G.I. Joe Retaliation?
How important is a blockbuster movie? And I would say Wicked is a blockbuster. Hello,
160. Yeah, no, humongous budget.
As the crow flies here on this day, 2 days after it came out, $160 million, it's going to do really well. It'll far surpass $1 billion. How important is the very beginning and very end of your movie? You can make an argument that these are some of the best points of the movie. And he absolutely killed it and made them epic, dude.
Yes, dude.
Epic. The opening with the puddle of witch.
Oh my
god! And the
god.
Monkeys flying through the window
into No One Mourns the Wicked is so good, dude. Oh my goodness! The score for this movie too, not the like the musical songs, but the additional orchestrations written for this movie are wonderful. The way that we're taking
fits so well,
taking the pre-existing melodies from the show and working them into the score. Unbelievable. Unbelievably good.
The slowed down intro of Defying Gravity that happened several times, particularly whenever Elphaba was like faced with a tough decision or something.
Yep.
And it would just kind of give us that real soft, I think it was like a French horn that it would give us the like, real soft underneath stuff. I was like, ooh, this is exciting.
Yep.
Especially because I did not know where Defying Gravity was in the thing. So I was like, are we there already? Is it already Defying Gravity time?
Can you imagine? So I was a very vocal, similarly to how I've apologized to Miss Grande in this episode, I want to apologize to the team behind Wicked because when I saw that it was two parts, I was like, okay, that sucks. That sucks. Please don't stretch it into two parts. Just do one. Can you imagine if Defying Gravity was like an hour in?
I know.
Can you imagine if this did not end with Defying Gravity, with Elphaba flying like Superman and Man of Steel at the end to Defying Gravity?
With the longest cape you've ever seen in your entire life. That's like a 30-foot cape. It's
can you imagine if this movie didn't end with me sobbing in my seat
to the show
about
for
the
sure,
Wicked
to the Broadway musical.
It's so cool. I think that Doge, what I'm realizing, and I've known you for a long time, I feel like I've got you pegged pretty nice, but the thing I'm realizing is that you would rather be in this position apologizing for pre-hating something, then you would be like, I was wrong. It wasn't good.
Yeah. Yes. Correct. Correct.
Oh, man. He'd rather walk into the casino with 50 cents and leave with $5 than walk in with 10 and lose it all.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes.
yes. Duh.
Correct.
So,
duh.
It's just so funny to me that you're like, you would rather be like, I want to apologize to all the people that I preemptively doubted and disagreed with and disparaged rather than be like, I thought it would be good and it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then I don't get tricked.
No, you did get tricked.
Oh, I didn't. It's important. I didn't.
Yes, you did. Need to know I didn't. It's the same. It's just an opposite direction.
No, I got proven wrong.
Oh, all right.
See? Now, when you really start to put the pieces
together. So if your hopes are up, it's a trick. If your hopes are down, you got happily disproven.
Yes. Yeah. See, now you get it.
Now
you're understanding. Now you understand.
Special shout out.
Now, hey, something has changed within you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something is not the same.
I'm sick of playing by the rules of liking things. That's the lyric.
Good movies, good projects, good creative projects that have newer face, it can absolutely launch them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Arrivo, I feel like I know, I don't know how much the world knows of Cynthia Erivo. Yeah. I imagine pretty much, right? Yeah. I don't think she's like a new star, but this is, I mean, punch in the arm to her stardom. But to have
her first blockbuster, right? She has not been like a blockbuster gal before.
Arrivo, then Grande, Goldblum, Yo, like, hey, these are already
amazing.
Big. But then, hey there, Jonathan Bailey. Dude, holding your own? Fiera?
Yeah.
Callie was familiar with Jonathan Bailey's game prior to this.
Yeah, between this and Into Jurassic World, Rebirth, I think, next
year. Why are we doing this?
So I'm cautiously optimistic for that one, but I'm not, listen to me, not excited. They have to earn my approval. But their vibe was like, their vibe of that movie is like, hey, we know Jurassic World 1, 2, and 3 kind of sucked a whole bunch. What if we don't do any of those and do a good one? And I'm like, yeah, I would like it if you did that. So
Rebirth, dude.
Yeah.
Those
are both 2025 flicks. Jurassic World, Unstinction.
Jonathan Bailey, jokes, dude. He's coming.
All those jokes people had in the early 2000s, especially, I feel like there were a dozen different versions of this joke where they were like, when I get rich enough, I'm just going to pay somebody to follow me around and slap snacks out of my hand. You know what I'm talking about? They're like, I don't need a personal trainer. I'm just going to pay somebody whose full-time job it is to slap muffins out of my hand every time I try and eat a muffin. And that's a funny joke for everybody. I feel like
you should type that up on a JPEG and put a minion on it.
Yeah,
and then share that on Facebook.
For sure. Hire me, Hollywood, to slap stupid ideas out of people's hands. Every time somebody's like, what if we revive? I'm just going to full open palm slap them across the face. You know, there hasn't been a sequel to blank in a while. And you're just going to hear my feet slapping on the hard floor as I sprint down the tile and just Superman dive like, to slap them in the face.
Those TikToks of like a duck running.
Just like, yes, it's exactly what it's going to sound like. People are going to be like, I know we just made three pretty bad Jurassic Park sequels, but what if we try and make a good one this time? And you're just going to hear like, No, as I sprint in to slap it. It's going to be, people are going to be like, what if we do live action How to Train Your Dragon? Because it has, and I'm just going to be, no.
I do not understand why we're doing that when the dragons look the exact same. It looks like a PS5 remaster of How to Train Your Dragon.
I understand. Ka-ching.
Money. I know.
Ka-ching.
Ridley Scott's like, I mean, it's what I just did.
Yes, exactly my point.
So I do want to, in the image of it all, like you slapping it, it's like anime slap.
Yeah.
Like in your head, your whole head's like forward.
Yes. And there's a freeze frame.
And then the wind comes 2 seconds later.
Yeah.
The wind bringing all of the energy from behind you comes 2 seconds later.
For sure.
I do think it's a no-brainer here.
Is it a scarecrow bit?
He doesn't know anything.
He doesn't know anything. I think it's a no-brainer here that what Maverick was to Glenn Powell's career, I'm pretty sure Wicked will be to Bailey's career. Like, Glenn was already doing stuff.
Yeah.
Gorgeous, charismatic man who can kind of do a lot of things. Dude,
Was that a Wicked Part 2 reference? Was No Brainer a Wicked Part 2 reference? Is that why you're both giggling?
Don't worry about it.
The second Act 2 of Wicked is, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead of The Wizard of Oz. It's the Lion King 1.5 of The Wizard of Oz. So it's like events of The Wizard of Oz happen sort of off screen.
Wait, is that real?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, it's cool.
Jonathan Bailey did such a good job.
Yes.
Awesome.
And, you know, we will get more of Bach in the second half.
Yeah.
But he's good too.
He's great.
Way to go. Bowen Yang, bro. You got all the lines. Lines that make me laugh.
Give me more Bowen.
I would have been like, man, Bowen was perfect for this if he had no lines.
Yeah.
Yes.
If he just looked the way he did.
Perfect for everything, dude.
Yeah.
He is.
Bowen just showed up in those weird glasses and that school uniform kilt and was like, perfect.
Bowen is the moment.
Great.
Dude.
Yep.
Bowen is he what really it's is. About right now. And I'm a big fan of
same
all Bowen has going on. So should many we moments. Can we super dump super pump real quick for Wicked and then we'll rate it? My super pump is Cynthia and Ariana. They're perfect.
Do you get both of them?
Why not?
It's our podcast.
Call the cops.
This is when you like guess within $1,000 at the Price is Right at the Showcase Showdown, bro. You're just going to get them both.
Call the cops.
Get them.
Call the cops, dude.
Get them.
Fine. Let me do this. My super pump is our leads. Does that make you feel better if I say it like that?
That's greater. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's greater.
That's greater. Yeah, that's better.
That's greater.
Have to say, you know, I want to say Chu. I want to say our director because this had to be so hard. This is so big. I'm going to say Ariana Grande because she also gets to be some of the connective tissue to the musical by her homage to Chenoweth. I think the fact that she still chooses the really high operatic and really they let these girls flex because they're doing harder things than what we hear in the musical.
Yeah.
They're going higher. They're defying
more gravity.
Yeah. More gravity. I think
for like most, defining
it feels
gravity.
Like most Broadway musicals, you're not allowed to do runs very much often, it feels like. Allowing them to just go ahead and show off was such a great idea.
Yeah.
You have to for the brand. But Ariana Grande as the Elphaba, dude, popular is funny.
Popular is
funny.
So good.
Bro, she's hilarious.
She's very funny.
Yep. Her timing, her, you missed it, Jordan. I was so sad when you went, you took a little potty break or
I
something.
Went a little pee-pee, yeah.
And you missed a scene that I love where Ariana does Glinda pouts on the bed.
Oh, you missed that? That's so funny.
No, you missed that. So I had to pee.
You'll have to see it again. We're not getting on to
you. Okay. I'm just sad, dude. Oh, you missed that? Oh, you missed that? Yeah, dude. Sometimes people have to take care of their business.
Wow, man. Something's going on here. We'll unpack that later. Ariana Grande.
Pump. Cynthia is my super pump.
Look at us.
She's so good, dude.
She's so good. She is.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. I mean, I know she's a good actor. Cynthia Erivo is an incredible actor. I knew she was a good singer. She's an incredible singer. She's just so good at acting and singing in Wicked.
Yeah.
We had, so Chelsea was like, there's something about her voice, man. Chelsea was like, there's something about her voice. What is it? Because like how she just comes in with power. It's like she's also a very athletic human being. There's some movies. I saw her in Widows. I don't know if you've seen Widows, mm-mm, but it's a really good movie. And she looks like an Olympic athlete in that movie. I was like, a lot of core stuff. You know, she's coming. She can be full belting right from the start. But really, she sounds like an instrument. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
When you're just playing an instrument and the notes are already like
just
immediately
like the clearest tone.
Yeah.
Clearest tone. Super Dump is monkey transformation scene too long.
Oh yeah, I can co-sign that.
Okay.
I can co-sign that.
Too long, too scary. Actually, Wicked is super dark. Like Wicked is actually a pretty dark story.
Sure.
But I think that was a little bit too long. The Grimoire is such a cool design.
Yeah. It looked really cool.
That book is so cool.
It looked really cool. So much visually worked really well in this. Mm-hmm.
If I have to come up with a super dumb, if I have to come up with something I liked less than everything else, in a movie where our two leads are so phenomenal vocally, the musical stylings of Peter Dinklage and Michelle Yeoh do stand out to me.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it doesn't bug me. Yeah. But it's
fine.
But
they're not Russell Crowe.
Something
has changed within me. Something is not the same. Pump your love. Lar.
La. It's too good. All right, let's scientific cinema scale this bad girl.
You don't have to say it again because I know what it's getting.
Best to the worst. All right, you go first then if you know so much.
Poster.
Oh, nice.
Phenomenal.
Poster here.
Phenomenal. Here.
Yeah, I think I'm high by. I don't think I'm quite poster, but I think if I sit on it for a little while, it might shift up that direction.
Yeah.
I think I'm high by.
Oh. Bro, and how they hit with the chorus of singers at the end is like, bah!
Yeah.
Like it's, hey, Wicked is more of a theater movie than Gladiator 2.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Four.
Wicked.
It is
more necessary to see it on the biggest, loudest screen.
Yes. If
possible.
You want to see Wicked, go to the theaters.
Yeah.
Don't wait.
Yes. Definitely.
You're not going to get, you won't get that back. You probably will. There's going to be a 10-year re-release somewhere.
One of those like Alamo re-release sing-along showings of this would be really fun. That would be a fun place to do it.
I would totally hit up the back-to-back. You know someone's going to do that.
1,000%.
I will be doing that. Whether it's a bootleg event that I put on myself or something officially sanctioned by the theater, I will be watching Wicked Part 1 directly into Wicked Part 2.
Thou's OP, dude. Thou's OP.
Hey, listen, if you're not award show people, I think it's worth giving most of our award shows a shot this year. A, Grammys is going to be, you know, Sabrina and Chappell and Beyonce and Billy are all going to perform. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
That will Oscars, be good. We're going to get this song. They're going to sing Defying Gravity at the Academy Awards. Bet.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. I bet they do a whole sure. montage.
They do a medley sure. for sure. They're going to do a medley for sure.
I think Wicked will make more money than Barbie. And that's saying.
Maybe. Really?
Maybe.
A lot. Oh, yes, dude. Yes.
Make sure you tune in with us next week. We're starting something pretty fantastic. And I'll just say it now. If you haven't yet, just go ahead and get a Hallmark Plus subscription and start watching Finding Mr. Christmas. That's all I'll say. Just trust us.
Go to Hallmark.com /2chunks and then they'll give you a thing that says 404 page not found. So what you want to do is then go to the Hallmark Plus homepage and get a 1 week free trial of Hallmark.
Here's what you need to do. December 18th. That's when you'll get Hallmark Plus
and watch, binge it all. And just binge it all.
Yeah. That's
if you're trying to save money in the holiday season, wait till December 18th.
Listening to us talk about it will be just as good as watching it almost.
Hey, I watched episode 4 last night when we got home from the movies.
Haven't yet, but gonna today.
It is somehow even better.
Great.
Every episode is better than the one before.
Great. Yeah, excited. Great. Definitely going to do that today. We're decorating for Christmas, so probably we'll watch some of that.
Oh, fun.
To end today's episode, I'd like for each of us to say our name and give our best Russell Crowe Defying Gravity yell. I think that's I think that's the right move. So for Two Junks and a Hunk, I'm Jordan.
Oh.
Yep. I think that even that register is giving Russell too much credit.
Yeah, probably.
I think that's a little bit too much vocal agility for our sweet gladiator. It could be more like a woo-woo, just like very short.
That's like sweating. If your hound dog makes that noise, you're like,
oh,
oh,
oh. He's yawning.
He heard a siren outside.
Him sleepy boy.
Oh, I'm sweating. I'm Carter, and
you're not gonna bring me down. Oh.
It was almost Andre the Giant, dude. It sounded like Andre the Giant.
Anybody want a peanut?
Shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Crocs, Old Navy Outlet, American Eagle Outfitters, Kay Jewelers, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com. Big time deals on big name brands.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.